And here we go, here we go.
Welcome to the FTN Dynasty Podcast.
Helping you create the ultimate dynasty.
Welcome to the NFL.
Here's your host, Jeremy Popolars.
Let's go!
Welcome in. Jeremy Popolars here with you as always. FTN Dynasty Podcast. We're here to talk free agency roundup. We're live again this week. We're going to keep trying this out for a bit. See, so if you are watching live, feel free to toss the questions in the comments. We'll go over those as well. If not, enjoy the listen. We're going to hear, we're talking about some free agency. We're not going to talk about the craziness that happened too much here with Max Crosby, etc. throughout this. Not really fantasy related, but either way, definitely some chaos going on in free agency thus far. We've had plenty of signings, plenty of changes, especially in the dynasty landscape. We're going to run through as many as we can get through here in a half hour and discuss some of these players, just kind of a little surface level. We have plenty of time to get deeper into these players as we go, and it's moving along. Pro days are coming through. We have plenty of to talk about with rookies as well here in the coming weeks. But again, today we're talking about free agents. We're covering everything. Lots has happened since last week. Much like I said, the Bills did trade for DJ Moore as well. Not really a free agency signing, but it's exciting. Hopefully we get some goodness there for us in fantasy. It should be a really good option. Should be the wide receiver one, air quotes around that one if you're not watching. Definitely should be peppered with some targets, so that should be exciting there for the Bills. Should definitely probably open up that offense a little bit, but don't want to get too deep into that because we have a lot of free agents to talk about here. Like I said, we've had plenty of signings, tons of which will have huge fantasy impacts and some that won't. And they'll obviously have some recourses from some of the players as well that aren't the ones who signed. You know, we can right off the rip, we're going to talk about Malik Willis. He's going to be one of the first guys we talk about. And it's going to be a player that, as a quarterback, obviously impacts the rest of that offense and rest of the players around him. And especially in Dynasty, you know, we have to kind of accommodate for some of these shorter windows players, especially if we are in a contending window. And we also have to see, hey, how long are some of these players going to be viable? All stuff that we can kind of predict, but we're going to take a look at it. And let's just dive right in. Like I said, we've got plenty of players to dive through, and we're going to start with Malik Willis. Willis really doesn't have much on record. Like, what are we going to go off of? All the data points are far too small of a sample size to give us much to really look at. Last season, I mean, he would have led the league in so many different categories just because it was such a small sample size. So the only positive note we can look at is that obviously it's a Green Bay staff that is in charge in Miami. They've obviously seen him in practice and in those small samples of those games, and are trusting him to kind of be at least the bridge quarterback here. Did give him a 3-year deal, so they're hoping him to at least be that bridge quarterback until potentially 2027, if not later. It's a gamble, and as far as fantasy goes here in Dynasty, like, I'm not really totally in on Malik Willis. I also think it's going to have a big recourse on a lot of these players. You know, not that they're going to totally be tanked, but what does Jalen Waddle happen with now here? Different quarterback. Not that Tua was overly generating a ton of offense for this Dolphins team over the last few seasons. But what does this look like? Malik Willis has a stronger arm, but sometimes can be inaccurate. We saw much better accuracy in the small sample size in Green Bay last season. But really, what's going to happen here with Jalen Waddle? I think I'm still in on it. I think that hopefully he should be that wide receiver one, get those targets, and maybe cultivate some of the stuff that we saw from him as a rookie. The biggest, I think, fallout here would probably be Devon Achane, and I'm a little on the fence about it still. I've been on a couple other podcasts and talked about it, but I don't know if it's necessarily a good thing or a bad thing for Devon Achane. Now, he's schemed into the passing game a lot, at least in McDaniel's offense. New coaching staff, not sure exactly what that's going to look like, but obviously one of the few playmakers on this offense. However, these short yardage throws and kind of screen game that they've ran for a long time with McDaniel over the past two seasons may not be there, as well as you're getting a quarterback who can run. Malik Willis is a above average runner at the NFL level. So I think there's going to be a little bit of a dip in Devon Achane. I don't think it's a total loss for him. I wouldn't say it's super positive, though. I think if you would have had Quinn Ewers as a bridge till 2027, or if you would have had Tua playing here, it would have been better for Devon Achane as far as checkdowns, etc., added into the already schemed up touches for him in the passing game. So it'll be interesting to see. Also, with defenses being able to kind of key in on him and just Waddle, that should be interesting to see as well. I think we're going to see a little bit of a fantasy dip here from the Dolphins playmakers. But I'm still in on him. Like, I'm not out. I'm not just paying premium prices, I guess would be the best way to say it here with these guys. Other quarterback that really made some noise happen today would be Kyler Murray going to Minnesota. Kind of one of those really kind of moments that's been reported for the last 2 weeks that Minnesota was interested. There were some dabbles back and forth as far as both sides being interested as well. So not overly shocking that he ends up in Minnesota here. The question really will be, is it a competition between him and JJ McCarthy, or are they bringing him in because they want him to start and let McCarthy sit again? You got to think they're going to give McCarthy at least a shot to win the job in camp. But again, you have to be positive about it. We saw Sam Darnold kind of resurrect his career in Minnesota here. So Kyler Murray, again, a player that we have seen tail off in the back half of his career. The rushing upside always is there. That was going to buoy his fantasy value, especially for us in Dynasty, and could be a player that should be fairly affordable in Superflex leagues. And he feels like a guy that's going to stick around in the league. We're seeing that right now with like Justin Fields getting some opportunities. We're seeing Geno Smith get these opportunities. Sam Darnold got another opportunity, obviously, after his good season in Minnesota. So if he does get that chance to start, he has a mid-tiered type of fantasy season. It is projected at the moment to be a stronger 2027 quarterback class. So maybe he doesn't get that opportunity next season, but there is that chance. So again, as a contender, if you're sitting at 112, it's steep, like a first for Kyler Murray, but if in Superflex, not overly steep to send like the 12th pick in this class for Kyler Murray. I'm not like excited about it, but in Superflex, it can be hard to get quarterbacks. And this feels like a spot that I think the manager would be willing to give up on Kyler Murray. And you're going to go ahead and not have to give up a ton to get him. So I'm in on it. I think that there could be some positive regression here for Kyler Murray. Again, you're proceeding with caution. It's a shorter-term deal. And there's a chance he doesn't start. If J.J. McCarthy can win the job in camp, which could happen, a little bit feels like a long shot, but could happen. Yeah, I think that we could see Kyler potentially sit it, but I think he will end up being the starter day one, and it's definitely worth a little bit of an investment in Superflex. Honestly, if you can get him for a second, that's like a screaming deal. But I do think you'll have to give up a late first for him. As a contender, depending on how your roster is constructed, I'm in on it for Kyler Murray if you're playing Superflex. All right. Plenty of running backs have come off the board already here through this free agency market. Not getting a ton of money. Some of them did, some did not. Obviously, the biggest one's going to be Kenneth Gainwell going to the Chiefs. Plenty of opportunity to be had there. No Pacheco, no Hunt. Pacheco obviously already signed. Hunt has not. Really just kind of seems like it's Walker and Breshard Smith going forward. It seems like he will get a semi-bell cow-ish opportunity. I really think you're going to be looking at one of those premier type of like 60-70 type touch percentage opportunities here from Walker. If he stays healthy, this guy's the ceiling. I think he easily is going to probably top 1,000 yards, potentially double-digit touchdowns on the ground, and was explosive last year in the passing game as well, and the Chiefs get back to that. In that screen game, we saw them succeed in the past with Kareem Hunt and others when they had a more established kind of upper-tiered type of running back, something they haven't had the past two seasons. So excited for Kenneth Walker. I don't think we have to spend a ton of time on it. The value obviously skyrocketed. I don't think I'm going to be spending up on Kenneth Walker necessarily right now. Let's let that sit in the steam cooker, slow down a little bit, and hopefully we can get some value recession there throughout the rest of the season. I don't know if it's going to happen. Just any running back tied to the Chiefs and any player, honestly, that gets tied to the Chiefs really doesn't tend to lose value over the time periods. So again, if it's really that missing piece and you're sitting at the back half of the first, probably giving it up for him, still young enough to have a couple years worth of dynasty value there for Kenneth Walker. Next is Travis Etienne. He goes to the Saints. A little bit surprising spot here. Not like surprising. Obviously, though, it's a little bit messy until we get clarity of where this situation goes. Obviously, Alvin Kamara is still under contract there. So what is their plan? Does Kamara stay, or is this Travis Etienne's backfield? If it is, just volume alone on an ascending-ish type of offense should produce RB2 type numbers for Travis Etienne, maybe even RB1, what we've seen here from him in the Jaguars backfield the past two seasons. The under-the-hood data, advanced data, not great. You know, he's a lower half starting running back in most of the data points. So the production has come based on volume and somewhatly with touchdowns. Like, the touchdowns have really held him up there the past few seasons. And the question comes, is that going to be the same in New Orleans? Likely so, just because offense was ascending in the second half of the season there under Kellen Moore. So there could be good things, and there's really not much outside of Alvin Kamara. So if they do move on from Alvin Kamara, Travis Etienne, it's wheels up for a solid top 15 type of production would be easily obtainable for Travis Etienne. So I think when it comes down to it, a player that I'm probably not investing ton into because of the age cliff here for Travis Etienne. He got a longer deal, but he is nearing that 28 to 29 type of age cliff there for the running backs. And he's not overly special as far as his production has ever indicated. He has done well. And again, mostly on volume, less than like being an elite running back at this level. So I don't want to get caught with a bag with Travis Etienne. I'm going to use this opportunity to move on from him if I have him, unless obviously if you're a contender, like you don't want to move on from a starting running back as a, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 type of team. You want to hold him. Like, I mean, running backs are going to get you points, especially because he doesn't have much. Devin Neal really couldn't seize much of that backfield. Kendre Miller is Kendre Miller at this point. And I do think that Alvin Kamara will likely be gone. So this should open up the door again for Travis Etienne. Volume play, tons of potential there. Next, we're going to run through a couple quick ones that probably don't mean a ton. The interesting thing here is with Kenneth Gainwell going to Tampa Bay. Interesting because obviously really kind of proved that he's more of a pass catcher. That's kind of where the volume came from there in Pittsburgh last season. And the advanced data, according to FTN data, he was 28th, 30th, 38th in yards after contact, avoided tackles, explosive run rate, and stuff rate. So not overly exciting as a runner there from Kenneth Gainwell last season in Pittsburgh. Most of that came with the five targets per game being top six amongst running backs last season. So the explosivity really wasn't there either from him. So I'm not overly worried necessarily with Kenneth Gainwell versus Bucky Irving and how this is going to fold out. Does it hurt Bucky Irving? Yes, any addition of an established running back is going to hurt said running back already established in room because they're going to split it. He also got a 2-year up to $14 million deal kind of thing. So there's a lot of money kind of invested in Kenneth Gainwell. So I think that there's a probably likely want to use him in the passing game. Bucky will be a little bit of an early down guy. The most concerning situation here is they also decided to bring back Sean Tucker. So this is just like a collaborative mess of much of what we saw last season, obviously just minus Rashad White. Now it's Kenneth Gainwell instead of Rashad White. So yeah, that's going to play out not great, I don't think, as where we're looking at here. Again, Bucky Irving, iffy as far as whether or not where I'm at with him as far as acquiring him. You're probably going to be able to get him a little bit cheaper than he has been the past few seasons coming off of the injury, as well as these new additions. I do think he's the most talented running back in this group, but that doesn't always mean that he's going to get the most fantasy production because, again, last season near the tail halves, we started to see really Sean Tucker take away a lot of the very fantasy viable types of touches, and Bucky Irving wasn't great in the goal line types of situations. He was one of the lower, you know, goal line production conversion running backs. So he was... let's see here. Yeah, he didn't even see a goal line opportunity last season, as well as he hit, where are we at here? Don't want to give you guys the wrong data. He was only converting 5% of his red zone carries into touchdowns as far as rushing attempts went. So again, the red zone wasn't really his thing. Sean Tucker kind of had that. That opened up the opportunity for Sean Tucker to come in and kind of take a lot of that away. Hence, zero goal line touches from Bucky Irving. We also saw some from Rashad White as well. So kind of like lost that role. And if Tucker's back, Gainwell, like good chance that he's probably going to be a little limited in that area as well again here in 2026. So I don't have many Bucky shares. I probably will not be looking to add any. If I manage him now, maybe I'm moving on. But again, the time right now is probably not best, because they just added two running backs. There's some angst against it. I would give it, you know, probably a mid-season type of move there with Bucky Irving if you're looking to move on from him or maybe draft day. You know, you can kind of get some players into that, you know, draft day hype, and that could help you out a little bit there. The rest, don't want to talk a ton. Chris Rodriguez, pretty hot topic between him and Bashel Tutton in Jacksonville as he is added. I'm not too worried there. Chris Rodriguez will add some opportunities taken from Tutton, but I'm not like concerned, I say. I don't think that. And even Washington kind of showed like, yeah, he can handle a workload, but they didn't like it. You know, they still were giving some to Crosby Merritt. They also healthy scratched Rodriguez at times. So like, he's a good runner. I liked what he did when he was in Kentucky. Obviously, at that time, he was with Cohen. But, like, I'm not, like, set that this move is, like, to bring him in and really be, like, the Travis Etienne to Bashel Tutton or vice versa. There's plenty of opportunity in this offense for running backs to get touches. Doesn't mean they're going to be fantasy viable, and it doesn't mean that it's going to sink said other running backs. So if they don't add anybody else crazily established, or a rookie, you know, if they go somewhere in there, like one of the rookie class is weak, but like they add a good role player in that territory of like, I don't think they do, but like if they added like a Jadarian Price or Jonah Coleman or somebody that's a little bit more of a thumper a little bit later in the draft, or maybe I'd get concerned, but Bashel Tutton probably is the guy. LaQuint Allen's going to play some of the third down stuff. Chris Rodriguez will probably spell Tutton at times. So I'm not, again, I think Tutton's fine. I would not invest in Chris Rodriguez either. Rico Dowdle to Pittsburgh, probably the most interesting of this group. Because you got Rico Dowdle to Pittsburgh, Isaiah Pacheco to Detroit. Like maybe Pacheco's interesting as a red zone option, but I don't think he's as good as David Montgomery. So I just think Gibbs is going to be the guy and Pacheco's going to get touches, but not enough to be like fantasy viable. Maybe you can, you know, sell the David Montgomery role and move on from Pacheco. That's what I would do if I was you and I had him on my roster. But again, don't love Pacheco in Detroit. Keaton Mitchell in LA is exciting. A very explosive runner. Now is going to pair with a explosive offense with Mike McDaniel. Questions again, though, Kamani Vidal's back. O'Marian Hampton's there. Lots of miles to feed. Exactly how's this going to go? I don't think there'll be flashes in the pan for Keaton Mitchell, but I don't think he's going to be an established, viable weekly starter for us at running back here for Keaton Mitchell. So not getting excited there. Back to Rico Dowdle. I think this is a spot we could see some volume. You know, Jaylen Warren has always been a little bit of a more towards the pass catching side of it when Najee Harris was there. Rico Dowdle could come in and be the Najee Harris version of this, where last season it was kind of Warren had more of the Najee Harris type of role and Gainwell had Warren's older role. I think you could see kind of a little bit 1A, 1B. Like both these guys do things well. Like Warren was good in that role. It wasn't like he was ineffective. It just, I think Dowdle could do a little bit better as far as the pound and grinding type of chunky, tough yardage type of runner. That's a little bit more Rico Dowdle speed than Jaylen Warren. And again, Warren held his own, but I do think that limiting some of those for Warren will help Warren as well as it's going to help Rico Dowdle. There's going to be chances for touchdowns here. I don't think it's a home run hit here for Rico Dowdle's value. I don't think it's a hit against it. I think he kind of stays where he was in Dynasty. There's not much value. The age is up there tied to a team that has an aging quarterback, and we don't know what it's going to look like, but McCarthy isn't always like the most exciting offense there. So I like Rico Dowdle. I think he should be affordable for you in Dynasty if you really need to add a flex player type running back, kind of as well as an upside play in case there's an injury to Warren. I'm in on it. I think he shouldn't cost you very much. And it's probably one of the players in this grouping here, like I said, of C-Rod, Rico Dowdle, Isaiah Pacheco, Keaton Mitchell. Obviously, the best option for you. I think you could argue that Isaiah Pacheco and him are close. But for me, it's not. I think Rico is plenty much ahead of him. The other player to talk about in this kind of group would be also Rashad White. Rashad White lands with Washington this year. Very minimal money. And this one is a hard one to process at the moment. Like right now, looks really good. Crosby Merritt, up and down rookie season, definitely will probably be still involved. Rashad White's proven to be a legit player. Like he can handle the load. He hasn't always been the most efficient per touch. Fair. But he's shown to be able to be a load-sustaining lead running back at the NFL level. So the draft's going to play out. And I think if they end up in a position to draft Jeremiah Love, I think they do. Which would tank Rashad White. But as it sits today, Rashad White is worth a lot. Now, there's two ways of thinking. One, you could kind of canvas the league and see where they're at. But many of them may think the same thing that I just said. Like, Jeremiah Love's on the docket here for the Commanders in the draft. And maybe you can find a manager that thinks that. And maybe you could get Rashad White a little bit cheaper. The signing now, they may try to play that game of like, well, he's in there. He's worth more. Maybe give it a week. Let the dust settle. And then try to make the move. Because I think you could really sell. And I think the national media will probably start to push that narrative that Jeremiah Love is likely going to end up in Washington. Now, the Giants have been rumored with him, the Titans. So, potential, he's gone before that. But you want to get Rashad White before the draft in case of that. But also, you don't want to pay a premium for Rashad White. Again, one-year deal, older player, hasn't been uber-efficient, volume-based fantasy production, which will be present here in Washington if they do not add a rookie running back in like Jeremiah Love. And after that, I'm not too worried about the rest. Like, I know Jadarian Price has some hot names. Jonah Coleman is a guy under the radar a bit that I think could be pretty solid. I think you have Emmett Johnson, obviously. You have Catron Allen, Mike Washington. There's some names out there that could definitely be tied to them post round one. But at the moment, I do think that Rashad White's probably the answer. I think I'd probably be most worried about Mike Washington, Jadarian Price. But I just don't know if I see them going there. They really need help at receiver as well. So I think receiver's probably more in their territory in round two. So I'm not, again, I think Rashad White has a chance. If he survives round one, there's a good chance. But if he does, there's going to be a huge volume spike as far as players trying to get an offload Rashad White in Dynasty. So finding that perfect time now may not be with just the signing. However, you know, give yourself a week or two of dust settling. We have plenty of time till the draft. Try to make the move. There would be my guess if you want to invest in Rashad White. And I think he's a good option for any contending roster. Okay, moving on to some of the bigger names at the wide receiver position. Alec Pierce obviously signs with the Colts. This is another one of those that we have to sit with it for a minute and really consider it. I mean, we've had more time to sit with this because this happened a little bit earlier in free agency just a couple days ago. I do really worry that Pierce is going to be a player that doesn't see a super expanded role. I think that we could easily see him kind of maybe sees 1-2% more targets. Maybe he gets to 100 targets, but he may have the same role. They paid him to have this role, which is a critical role in the Colts offense. So the money you want to follow, but they may have paid him to just keep him here because this field stretching deep role, which he is very, very good at, is critical. But I do think he inherits some of the Michael Pittman role, but it's not going to be all of it. Like, he's not all of a sudden going to have, and I could look back at this and say, boy, I was wrong. But I don't think he's going to inherit to like 140, 150 targets, anything crazy like that. I think that you'll see him, like I said, 100, 105 likely, and that's a good target share. But I do think Josh Downs sees a little more. I think Tyler Warren sees more. I think you see a little bit more Jonathan Taylor until Daniel Jones kind of really recoups that value that we've seen from him and his production coming off the Achilles. Lots of question marks there. So, again, a player that hasn't really, he started to show flashes last season of a more expanded route tree, but we haven't seen the legit, like, horizontal type of route tree from Alec Pierce just yet. So there is cause for me to pause a bit to believe that they're going to say, you're our wide receiver one, we're peppering you with targets. I know the money sense feels like it's there, but I'm not convinced again. I think that's safer play. I'm going to approach this in a more safe, cautious route. Still a good player to acquire. I think he's a rock solid top 36 player, if not top 24. So there is value to be had here. It really comes down to what the opposing manager wants to charge you to acquire him. Like, I'm not paying a premium for Alec Pierce. I would rather go out and pay a premium for, you know, a little bit more or, you know, a step higher or two for those players like Devontae Smith or Justin Jefferson. Like, I would rather pay the premiums to get there. And Jefferson might not be super suppressed at this point. With Kyler Murray, maybe there's a bump in his value, but I feel like I've seen some fairly affordable Justin Jefferson trades out there. And again, you're going to have to, it's not going to be able to be like Justin Jefferson straight up for the same value as Eric Pierce. But I think you could package stuff together and not have to pay much more than Alec Pierce is value at the moment as it sits today to go and get like a Justin Jefferson. You're not getting Chase, you're not getting Nacua. Like, those are guys way up into the stratosphere. And Justin Jefferson may be, rightfully. Like, I don't think that he should be anywhere really near Alec Pierce's value. But a bad season, still questions at quarterback. Like, we saw, and this is where it comes down to, like, is it Marvin Harrison who's bad? Or was it Kyler Murray that was bad? And if it was Kyler Murray, now he's Justin Jefferson's quarterback. Does that really help us more than J.J. McCarthy? So I still could feel like there could be some managers out there that aren't as high on Justin Jefferson as they probably should be. So again, close there. And again, we're getting a little bit on a tangent here as far as Justin Jefferson to Alec Pierce. But again, those players in that tier, like probably closer to him in like the Devontae Smith, Jamison Williams, I'd probably take Pierce over Williams, but Michael Pittman, even the guy that they moved to Pittsburgh in a new situation, I think it's close. Like, I still feel like Pittman might have a better value than Alec Pierce. DK Metcalf, kind of all in that same territory of values. And I don't know. Pierce may be the better investment. He's a little younger. But I still think it's an equal-ish type of value to Michael Pittman, like Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle. You're probably pretty close. You probably get Jalen Waddle as opposed to Alec Pierce for not much more. So again, ultimately this all stems back to the fact of like not buying Alec Pierce just yet. And I could be wrong for it. You know, I may be. Sometimes I'm a little too late to some things. So, all right, moving on. Mike Evans to San Francisco. This is a spot that I'm definitely in on. Obviously, an aging player gets a three-year deal, but I really do think he's going to be the lead target in this passing attack. Outside of, obviously, you have your CMC, George Kittle, like Mike Evans. I think they'll probably all be very similar in target share type of ability, but we saw them give Juwan Jennings 9 touchdowns some way, shape, or form. You can't tell me that Mike Evans isn't getting to 10, 11. Last season, his catchable target rate was not great deeper down the field and in general, you know, was sub 60%. And he's still managed the second most air yards per reception amongst qualifying wide receivers at FTN data. So he's a player I think that still has it. Big play machine, should see plenty of target volume and plenty of red zone target volume here for Mike Evans. So yeah, I'm in on it. If you can acquire him reasonably, 100%, especially a contender rebuilding, don't want him. Age is there, it's not concerning. And I don't think I need to tell you a ton about that. Like, I feel like as now as dynasty managers, we should know, like, Mike Evans rebuilding, not a good idea. But definitely as a contender, it's a player I would be trying to go out and get. The next couple players, Wandell Robinson, Romeo Doubs, Dobbs, my apologies there. I keep getting that one wrong. Keeps catching the feet there. Two interesting players, honestly. I mean, Romeo Doubs in New England gets a good contract. Really, we haven't seen him in a premier role. Little bit last season with a lot of the injuries, he kind of was the like impromptu wide receiver one, but they spread the targets around a lot there. And again, we haven't seen much from him. You know, I do expect him to be probably a 1,000-yard receiver with New England. I think that there's a lot of things that people don't give Romeo Doubs enough credit for. I think he's a very good route runner. I think he's developed that very well in Green Bay since his times at Nevada. Still a pretty decent deep threat, not overly explosive in that category, but he can do it. We saw more of that in college than we did at Green Bay. However, he's a chain mover. Like, he's going to be not necessarily like a full-on PPR guy like Wandell Robinson, but he's a chain mover. He should be a safety-ish type of blanket there for Drake May. I think it's a good match. I think you're going to, again, see not sexy production, but we'll see some spikes from him as far as touchdowns go, and will be a very steady Eddie type of fantasy option for us, and should be a good, again, it's a good investment. I worry that the price is too high at this point, maybe too late to the table. Like, we kind of expected him to get a good deal somewhere, and maybe we should have invested prior to this. And again, New England may bring up some questions, and if you can find an affordable piece price, I'm in probably on Romeo Doubs. I just think it's a player that should, again, be steady Eddie as far as that fantasy production goes in New England, but he's not going to win you your league. Like, he's that final piece to kind of fill out your flex type of territory. He's probably a borderline wide receiver 2, probably wide receiver 3 more likely. I think they're just going to spread it around a little bit too much. Still have two viable running backs, et cetera, there in New England. And I don't think this rules them out of adding somebody else either. So, again, I don't think he should be garnering high-end prices, and he may at this point. So, monitor it. If you can get him reasonable, I'm in on it with Romeo Doubs. Wandell Robinson, on the other hand, I'm a little more skeptical. He's a target machine, and he may have that in Tennessee. But again, Wandell Robinson, I'm waiting to invest in until after the draft. I want to see where they go here, because they have Calvin Ridley sort of on the roster, if he's staying or not staying, if he's going to be healthy. Wandell Robinson, Shimmeray DK looked pretty good. Alec Aomanor had his flashes. They've got, could have Restrepo back. They don't have much at tight end. Gunnar Helm, Daniel Bellinger. So there's a lot of opportunity at the moment sits, but you also have Tajay Spears, Tony Pollard in the backfield, and rumors that they're in on Jeremiah Love. So I'm not overly excited about Wandell Robinson. Again, I'm in, and you can speak me into almost anybody, and I think this is how you should play as a dynasty manager. If the value is good, you should be in. Targets will follow. There's always opportunities for these players, and if someone's not asking crazy prices, why not be on Wandell Robinson, who's, you know, easily shown he can handle over 100 targets at over 1,000 yards last season, 4 touchdowns, showed some more explosivity. It wasn't a crazy, like, deep target type of production, but he's shown flashes of it, and can kind of get you there at times. Had some really big games there for the Giants and us as fantasy managers last season. So there's some positives to Wandell Robinson. The offense is a little scary. Like, Cam Ward is solid. I like Cam Ward. I just, a little bit inaccurate at times. And again, you're looking at a guy that's going to have like an eight out of like 2 yards here with Wandell Robinson. But I want to see where they're at, because again, yeah, that A-dot's a little lower. Maybe he sees a deeper A-dot if they do bring in Jeremiah Love. If they don't, like, does Love take a lot of the targets Wandell Robinson was seeing in New York? So a lot of questions still around him. Again, a guy that I'm probably avoiding as far as that goes, you know. So Pierce and Robinson are the two less exciting for me as far as their landing spots and what they're likely drawing in the market, where Evans and Doubs, I'm paying the prices. Obviously, if someone wants something crazy for Doubs, I'm not in. But Mike Evans, I'm pretty in. I feel like if I'm a contender, I'd give up my first round pick for Mike Evans. I know he's older, but I feel like if you can give up 112 right now, like, or 111, it's close, because you're probably in wide receiver territory there. But man, I really do think that Mike Evans might have one of those really good, you know, almost top 10 type of seasons if he can stay healthy. So a little bit there in on that. All right, last but not least, we're probably not going to talk a ton about the tight end position. Two interesting spots. Obviously, the two premier kind of tight ends that I was watching in Isaiah Likely and Chig Okonkwo. Okonkwo goes to Washington. Interesting. I mean, it really tells you Ben Sinnott's never going to be a thing, right? Other than that, like, Okonkwo, he's shown flashes. He has some decent, like, career underlying data points. So that's a positive. And we've seen Zach Ertz be a thing for them at the tight end position. Not really much proven at receiver outside of Terry McLaurin. So there's an opportunity here. I'm going to lean with some hesitation until after the draft, which probably prices me out on Okonkwo. On the reverse side, I'm a little bit in on Likely, but again, proceeding with a little bit of caution. Obviously, Malik Nabers wasn't there last season. Theo Johnson kind of saw the benefits of that in the red zone, and Jackson Dart and Theo Johnson have a little thing going on there as far as safety blankets, red zone type of opportunity. So now is that Isaiah Likely that gets that opportunity? Do we still see that ground and pound from Harbaugh? Or are they going to open it up a little bit with Jackson Dart at quarterback? So I still lean to Likely. I think that he's a little bit more explosive as a player that we've seen from it thus far in their careers. Obviously, a little bit more opportunity, I think, than Okonkwo. As far as playtime goes, he hasn't overly been targeted. He's obviously been battling Mark Andrews for targets, but he has been on the field. It's not like he hasn't been playing. It's just Lamar, I feel like, was a little bit more trusting of Andrews in certain situations. So when it comes to these two, I'm still erring to Likely more than Okonkwo, but they're very similar. I think they both landed in similar situations. I think you could argue Okonkwo is in a better situation. No real threat at the tight end position. And Theo Johnson may not be for Likely, but he showed he's an athletic tight end. We've seen that at Penn State. We saw it in the past few seasons, and he's a big guy, is really good in the red zone. So if you see that two tight end set similar to what we saw in Baltimore, Likely may be the error here. So I could get behind Okonkwo. I still think I lean to Likely, but I'm not really in on either. Like, I think they're, I don't know, average tight ends. Like, none of them scream to me. In Dynasty, unless you're playing a tight end premium or your tight end room is really in trouble. You know, maybe you have Kelsey and you're trying to get something younger. Sure, I'll take a shot on either of these. Take your pick. I think it's flip a coin. But hopefully I'm not in that situation. I have someone a little bit more established, a little younger. That's where I'm at. All right. That was it. That's pretty much the roundup from what we've seen here early on in the free agents signings thus far. Now, again, quick little thing, nothing too crazy. Didn't want to get too deep in the data numbers because there's a lot of it. And as you can see, we're at 30 plus minutes already. And I want to get you guys out of here. I don't keep up too much of your time. Just a little bit, little quick thoughts, initial thoughts on that. We'll definitely have more time to digest this. But if you want to try to beat the rush to some of these players, which I will advise at not the best time. This is probably the worst time to go ahead and try to acquire some of these players because people are going to be like, oh, they signed there. You want them. You're paying a premium. So again, word for the wise, you do you. It's your team, your league. You know it the best, but probably let the dust settle and then go ahead, try and make some of these moves for some of these players. And with that, we'll have more time to digest the move, really look under the data, see where we're going to be, project some of these teams have new offensive coordinators, new head coaches. We don't exactly know what these offenses are going to look like, but maybe given some time, we can, you know, digest some of that data, take in some stuff on the X streets or blue sky streets, whatever streets you use anymore, Reddit, wherever you're at, and try to dissect some of the data. So as always, Jeremy Poplar's here, FCN Dynasty Podcast. Before you get out of here, make sure you subscribe, like, review, much appreciated on any podcast platform in which you listen to. Feel free to toss me a follow if you are watching on X. Make sure you follow at FCN Fantasy as well. And until next time, take care.